Oh, that's not necessary. I can sit behind you.
No, no, I insist. You know the way. You can be Bran's navigator. Audrey seemed to think it over briefly, then made a polite little bow.
Thank you.
He climbed into the right-hand seat. Jordan stashed his rifle, then sat with Meek in the second row, while Defia climbed into the rearmost row, empty since the robots were still with the reactivated rovers. As the buggy started up, Jordan marveled at how fantastic this all was. It's impossible, he told himself. I must be dreaming. Yet he opened the neck seal of his biosuit and pulled the deflated plastic helmet down off his head. The city. Brandon drove a good deal faster than Defia had, pushing through the forest at Audrey's direction along what appeared to be a fairly well-defined track that wound among the trees. Jordan leaned between them and asked for a report from Longyear on the quality of the air. The biologist's lean, somber face appeared on the comm screen. The bio program's still analyzing the sampling data you've beamed up. Nothing toxic, apparently. But the analysis isn't finished yet. Jordan nodded. Brandon and I have removed our suit helmets. Longyear's dark eyes widened. That's premature, Jordan. There could be... We volunteered to be experimental subjects. So far, so good. Looking unhappy, the biologist muttered. What's done is done. Can't argue with that, Jordan said, feeling somehow cheerful, buoyant. They rode on for another few minutes, and then Jordan saw stone buildings standing among the trees, large buildings, several stories high, with flat roofs green with lush gardens. A small crowd of people was clustered in front of the nearest building.
It's a regular city, Brandon cried out.
And indeed it was. Audrey directed them down a central street, flanked on either side by handsome stone buildings. Brandon drove slowly now, gaping at the buildings and people they were passing. There were animals among the people, too. Four-footed creatures that looked vaguely like miniature horses about the size of a Shetland pony. Apparently they were used as beasts of burden. He could see no vehicles of any sort, not even a bicycle. Most of the ponies were a plain dun color, although a few of them were deeper shades of brown. At the end of the street, Jordan saw, stood an imposing multi-storied structure with a long stone stairway leading to a veranda that seemed to run completely around the building. How could our sensors have missed all this? Jordan asked himself. All right, the roofs might appear to be natural greenery, and the stone is probably local material, so the cameras and multispectral sensors might have concluded it's all natural formations. But the straight streets? That should have been an immediate tip-off that this is artificial. Straight lines don't appear in nature, not grid works of city streets. As if he was reading Jordan's thoughts, Audrey turned slightly in a seat and said, I'm afraid we disguised our little community from your orbiting cameras. How could you do that? Jordan asked. And why?
We were very fearful of shocking you, you must realize. We wanted our first contact to be as gentle as possible, as non-threatening as possible.
Non-threatening, Jordan echoed.
Despite the guns you were carrying,
Audrey chided softly. The people walking along the streets were perfectly human-looking men and women. Some wore ankle-length robes, as Audrey did, but there were plenty of other styles of clothing, some of them very colorful. Small, dog-like animals scampered among them, apparently free to scurry wherever they wished. Many of the people turned to stare in curiosity at their buggy rolling past, although others seemed to ignore it.
New Yorkers, said a cynical voice in Jordan's head.
As they approached the broad stairway at the end of the street, Audrey said to Brandon,
You can stop at the bottom of the stairs.
Jordan tapped his brother's shoulder. Are we beaming all this up to the others? Nodding without taking his eyes from his driving, Brandon said,
Automatic feed. Thornberry's getting everything our cameras see.
Good, said Jordan. They glided to a stop at the base of the stairs. A dozen or so people were coming down the stairs toward them. A reception committee? Jordan asked as he swung his legs over the side of the buggy and got to his feet.
A welcoming committee, said Audrey.
He got up too, more slowly, stiffly.
We have decided to speak English to you. I hope that is agreeable.
That's fine, said Jordan. As Brandon, Meek, and Defia got off the buggy, Audrey went on. I believe that English is the lingua franca of your people. A pun? Jordan asked himself. A multilingual pun from an alien? The others came down the steps and arranged themselves around Audrey and the four men from Earth. Looking them over, Jordan saw that there were six women and six men, their hair and skin coloring ranging from pale Nordic to dark African. It's as though some politician put together a group to represent every possible type of human being on Earth. But we're not on Earth, he reminded himself. These people may look human, but they are aliens. One of the women, a pretty, pert redhead with short-cropped hair and smiling brown eyes, took a step forward and said,
Welcome to our city. We hope you make yourselves comfortable here.
She was wearing a short-sleeved, light tan blouse and dark brown slacks. Thank you, said Jordan, with a suggestion of a bow. My name is Jordan Kell. You are... She looked puzzled for a moment, then seemed to grasp what Jordan was asking her.
Oh, my name is Aditi.
A charming name, said Jordan. And may I ask, what do you call your city? Again she looked perplexed. Audrey said,
We merely call it the city.
And this planet? Brandon asked. When we first met you, you called it New Earth.
Yes, said Audrey. Isn't that what you call this world?
That's right. But what do you call it?
And how did you know that was the name we used? Meek added.
Audrey smiled placatingly.
This planet's name in our language is very similar to your term, New Earth.
Meek's lean face took on a suspicious scowl.
And just what is your language, may I ask?
Audrey stood silent for a moment, then uttered an indecipherable sound, a combination of a fluting whistle and an undulating low moan. Meek's jaw dropped open, and Jordan fought down an urge to laugh at the astrobiologist's consternation.
I'm sorry, Audrey said. Our language has very different roots than yours. I believe it will be much easier if we communicate in English, at least for the time being.
I agree, said Jordan. At least for the time being. Aditi gestured toward the stairs and said,
Would you like to see our...
She hesitated, looked at Audrey.
Our administrative center,
Audrey finished for her.
City Hall?
Jordan asked with a smile.
Oh, it's more than that, Mr. Kell. Much more.
The administrative center. With Aditi on one side of him and Audrey on the other, Jordan climbed the steps of the impressive building. He felt somehow eager, excited by these strange yet familiar surroundings. It's as though I've come home, he thought. Home to a place I've never been to before. Brandon, Meek, and Defia were behind him, Brandon chatting with the welcoming committee as they made their way up the stairs, while Meek and Defia kept a guarded silence. Jordan opened the front of his bio suit and fished his phone from his shirt pocket. Hazard's dark face appeared on the tiny screen. We're tracking you, Jordan, no problem, said the astronaut.
Where's Thornberry? Jordan asked.
He's running the remote console, packing the rovers into the ship they flew in on, Hazard replied. Wants to move them to other regions now that they're working okay.
And the robots?
They're back at your plane standing by.
Nodding, Jordan said, We are going into what appears to be their main building.
Reception might not be so good once we're inside. Lowering his voice, Hazard asked, You trust these aliens? Jordan glanced at Audrey climbing the stairs beside him, then Aditi on his other side.
Yes, he answered. I do.
At any rate, we won't learn much by keeping our distance from them.
Maybe, Hazard granted. Just stay in touch with me.
Of course. He flicked the phone shut and stuffed it back in his pocket.
Audrey said, I'm afraid I couldn't help overhearing your conversation.
Jordan shrugged. That's all right.
You'll find that electromagnetic reception inside our buildings is quite clear.
Good.
I can understand your teammates' concern. Xenophobia is a survival trait that must have been important in your earlier evolution.
I suppose it was, said Jordan. But I think it's time we got past it.
Oh, yes,
Audrey agreed, beaming. long past time.